Today she's Masechet Bavah Kamma, Daf Samach Beis. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud. Four lines from the bottom, Tanur Rabbanan. Begins the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan. Hamadlik is Hagodesh. If somebody puts on fire on a Godesh, on grain, v'hoyeba kelim v'dolku, and there were different kelim in that grain. Rabbi Huda's opinion is, you pay for what was inside. As we've often discussed, Rabbi Huda's opinion is that by tamun, you chayiv for tamun. So even though what was burnt was not something that you saw, you will still be held responsible. The chamim, whereas the opinion of the chamim is, em misham el agodesh al chitin, you pay for the wheat, or godish osirim, or for the barley, because their opinion is that you don't pay for tamen. For royim, we continue to Gemara. We look at the place the makom kalim. The rabbanon agree it's that the place where the kalim were kilu malei tefuah, as if that was a place that he might not have known that there was something else in there, but he should have known. He did expect. That there were kalim in there. And since he could expect there were kalim in there, he shall be held responsible. Says the Gemara, the Medva Mamurim, when is the halacha, the chum hold, that you're not chai for tamen be'esh? The madlik, b'tach shalai, when somebody lit a fire in his own property, the holcha b'dolk b'tach shal chaveroi, and it spread into somebody else's property. Ava madlik b'tach shal chaveroi, if somebody lit a fire in somebody else's property, then the halacha is Masham Kamashe B'toichai. Then the halacha is that you'll be held responsible. There, even the Rabbanon will agree that you'll be chayiv for everything that happened. So Tosfos discusses when the Rabbanon say now, when the Gemara of Kahana is saying that the Rabbanon have the strict opinion and you'll be chayiv for everything that's there. How do we understand what does that mean? Does that mean only on things that one could have been expected to, something that could have been expected? But if it's something that's unusual to be there, even though it's in somebody else's property, and Rav Kahana is telling us that Rabbanon are strict under those circumstances, they will not be that strict? Or even under those situations, the halacha will be that the Rabbanon say that there's no exemption of tamen on something that's in somebody else's property. Continues the Gemara, my Rabbi Huda l'chachamim, Rabbi Huda that says that the Rabbi Huda says to the chachamim, b'mashal makom chaver l'hagdish godish, where somebody borrowed space from someone else to put grain there, v'higdish v'hitman, and the person put grain there, but he also put different tools, different things into that Godesh, that the Halacha Rabbi Yehuda will agree. Even though we've been learning and continue to learn, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you chayiv on Tomen, here you shall not be chayiv on Tomen. Shem Mishalem, Demei HaGodesh Bavad, that you only have to pay that for the place of the Godesh. And as the Prisha explains, based on the Ramban, because the person who lent them the space could say, I lent you space for grain. I didn't lend you space for something else. Or, in a case, Lag the Shitin, he was given permission to put wheat into my property. Higdi Sirim, and he put barley in my property. Or vice versa. Sirim, he was given permission to put barley. Higdi Shitin, and he did wheat. Chitin, or if he was given permission to put wheat there. Vichipim b'sirim, and he covered the wheat with barley, or he was given permission for sa'irim, the chipim b'chitin, he was given permission for barley, and he covered it with wheat. She'en lay mishal ma'al demay sa'irim b'vad, he will only get the value of sa'irim. In the place where he was given permission to put wheat, and he put barley, so the fundamental principle here, of course, is that barley is cheaper than grain, than wheat. So you could say, at the end of the day, you only put barley here. So your damage was limited to barley. I don't have to pay any more. in a place where he was given permission to put barley and he put wheat. So the owner of this property says, I only gave you permission for barley, and I shouldn't have to pay for anything more valuable than barley. In a place where he gave him permission for wheat and he covered it with barley, even though he was his damage was with wheat and he was given permission to put wheat there, the landlord could say, well, I only saw barley because you covered your wheat with barley, and therefore, since I thought legitimately that all you have here is barley, and barley, as we just said, is not as valuable as wheat, so I wasn't so careful because barley was all that I thought that was there. In a place that I gave him permission for barley and he covered it with wheat, then at the end of the day, he was only given permission for barley, and that's all that he has to pay for. Amar Rava, says Rav Anosin din azav l'isha. If somebody gives a gold coin to a woman, but he tells her that the coin that I gave you shall kesef hu, is made out of silver. Hezikta, if she deliberately did damage to this, she threw it into the ocean, she burnt it, then Mishalem Stenazov. She has to pay the value of gold, even though she thought it was silver. From the Amala, because the person could say to her, why would you do something like this? My Havalach Gabay Dazikta. Why would you go and deliberately destroy something of mine? And therefore, you shall have that responsibility. The Rishonim discuss, the Mara speaks about giving it to a woman. Why was it said by a woman? So some Rishonim say, because typically in Shas, when we speak about giving somebody a coin, we speak about a woman receiving a coin. That's why it was mentioned a woman. Another explanation is because women are not that familiar with coins. So when you give a woman a gold coin, she can easily believe when you tell her it's silver. But when we look in the Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch brings this in its Siman Reish Tzadik Aleph Choshe Mishpat Sif Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch very clear says that it doesn't make a difference, a man or a woman. However, Pashaba, but let's say the reason something happened to this coin was because she was negligent, she didn't adequately watch it, then the halacha is mishalem mishal kesef, she'll only pay as if it was a silver coin. Darmalei, because she could say to the person who asked her to watch it, Niterusa, the kaspa kibilalai, I only accept upon myself to watch something made out of silver, Niterusa da have like kibilalai, but I never took upon myself to watch something made out of gold, and therefore that's all that I should be held responsible for. The Rishonim point out that we've been discussing a case about somebody given our Gemara about giving a gold coin and was told it's silver. And the halacha is, the Gemara just said, if you're mazik beyadayim, if the woman deliberately did damage to it, she shall be held responsible. So Tosfos asks a question. In the previous Gemara, where we spoke about somebody who put a purse and a grain stack, the mazik, that's considered mazik, that's considered tamen, and we said the mazik is exempt from paying for the purse since he had no way of knowing that a purse was buried there. So why don't we say, like we just said in our Gemara, that you should be held responsible because why are you causing damage? So Taisa says there's a difference between this case and the previous case. Taisa says that in the case where somebody was told that the coin is silver, it's not entirely unexpected for it to be gold. Because what he explains is that many times somebody who has a gold coin won't tell the shomer that's a gold coin. He'll tell the shomer that it's silver, because he knows that if the shomer is told that it's a gold coin, he may refuse to accept responsibility for a gold coin. And therefore, it's not so out of the question that it was a gold coin. On the other hand, a purse buried in a grain stack is entirely unexpected, and therefore that's considered a concept that we speak about often, oinas gomer. The Ramban disagrees with Tosfos, and he says that Adam HaMazik, the difference between this Gemara and the previous Gemara, is in this Gemara, when this person, in our Gemara that we just learned, when this person damaged the gold coin, so he was an Adam HaMazik. And the level of obligation for an Adam HaMazik is much higher than the level of obligation for Eish. Because as we often explain in our Shiurim, when we think about Eish, the person who did the Eish didn't, it's not my direct damage. And since it's not my direct damage, it's only the Eish that I created that did the damage, the level of responsibility is a lower level of responsibility. So even though, of course, I should have never made a fire that could burn somebody else's Godish, but the Torah exempts me for Taman. And once the Torah exempts me for Taman, that exemption applies even when I was a mazik, when I was a deliberate mazik. Amalei Ramotcha Leravashi. Atam B'Ravim Snisalem. You just learned this halacha regarding what Rava said, where somebody was asked to watch silver and it was really gold. Anan, but we learned this from Masnisim Pshitalon. We're going to learn a halacha from a braisa. The braisa we started the shiur speaking about, chiton, if somebody has gray wheat, chipim besoirim, but he covered it with barley, lesoirim, or he gave him permission to put barley, the chipim, the chiton, and he covered it with wheat, in both cases, you pay only for barley. That means even in the case where he had permission to put wheat there, but if he covered it with barley, he shall only be held responsible for the barley. Alma, what do we see from here? Amalei, the person could say, Neturusa de Sira Kibalai, I only took upon myself barley. And Hachanami, Amalei, she could say, when she didn't properly watch it, and it was ended up being gold, not silver, she could make an argument, Netirusa de Havilah Kibilalai, I never took upon myself anything more than gold or silver, and therefore I should not be held responsible for anything else. Says the Gemara, Amarav, Shamet Milsa, Le Rebbe Yehuda, I heard a halacha, according to Rebbe Yehuda's opinion, that says that Yechayiv by Tomim Be'esh, V'lo Yedana Mahi. So, I don't remember what the halacha was. Om Shmuel, so Shmuel said to him, V'lo Yoda Abba, Rav's name was Abba, and Shmuel would call him by his name. So you Rav, whose name is Abba, my Shmilei, don't you know? Shel Rabbi Yehuda Mechayiv Tomim Niskei Tom Be'esh. Rabbi Yehuda, that says that even that Yechayiv for Tamin Be'esh, also Tekanas Nigzal. There's a special rule regarding somebody who something was stolen from. That normally, when the Torah says that somebody has to make a Shvuah, the way the Torah describes the Shvuah is that the person swears, and by swearing, he's exempt from paying. Here, there's a new din, which is called Nishba V'Noitel. The victim of the theft swears that this is what was stolen from him, and then he could collect what he says. And by Ishoi, and the same thing, when somebody had Taman, Be'esh, the halacha is the person who had this wallet, for example, in the stack of grain, could swear that's what I had there, and he'll be able to collect. Bayameima, Asot Tukaras Nigzal B'Mosor. Somebody who gave over to the government somebody else's money, and that's called a Mosr. And we're going to learn in our Shiurim that this concept of Garmi, that even though I didn't do direct damage, but where what I did will certainly cause damage, the halacha considers it as if I am mazik. So what is the question here is there going to be a takonis nigzel? If I gave over to the government in those days somebody's situation, and what would be the halacha if it turns out that he comes and says, well, you caused me X amount of loss. Will we say takonis nigzel? He'll say, he could identify what the loss was, and the muscle will have to pay it. Says the Gemara, Eloi, or didn't make such a takana. And explains the Gemara. I'll leave the man to Amaloi Dayin and Dayin the Gami, as we just explained. The entire basis for making the Mosr Chayiv is because we learn halachas of Gami, Loi Tibayloch. The Mesiris Nami Loi Daminin. Because this is considered no more than a Gami. I'll keep it to Bayloch. When is this question relevant? I'll leave the man to Amaloi. According to the opinion that holds that Garmi is considered a mazik. And now the question is, also takonas nigzal b'masur, did they make such a rule? Eloi, or did they not make such a rule? And the halach is teiku. And the very big machloikus rishonim, when we have in these gemaras, the concept of teiku, when the gemara says teiku, what does that mean? There's one opinion that says that we apply the concept a moment hamutal sofik chalkin. Since we don't know what the halacha is in these circumstances, the amount that's in dispute, chalkin should be divided. Others apply the concept here of hamaytzi mechaveira olavaraya. If you're trying to demand that I pay, and the Gemara did not say definitively that in such a situation I would have to pay, because the Gemara is saying teiku, that it's not clear that a shvua would be in order in this case. Since it's not sure that a shvua would be in order in this case, so we apply the standard principle of amotzi mechaveira olav araya, and I will not have to pay you even if you're ready to make a shvua. Says the Gemara, who gavered the botish, the kaspasa the chavrei. Somebody took somebody else's chest that had in it money and shajib in the hara and threw it into the river. Osamare, the owner of that chest, came. He says, I had this much money in that chest. So Rashi was trying to understand what will be the halach in such a situation. Okay, gavna mai. Amalei Ravina Ravach Bre de Rava. Vamalei Ravach Bre de Rava la Ravashi. Lav Haina Misnisen. Isn't that the case of our Mishnah? The Tanan, have we not learned in our Mishnah? Or Maidim Chama Rabbi Yehuda, the Chama agree with Rabbi Yehuda, the Madlik Eschbira, that if somebody put to fire somebody else's home, Shemeshaon Koma Shemetoichai, he shall be held responsible for everything that's in that home. Shekain Derech. People leave things in their homes. So we see that if the person who owns that home says, this is what I had in my home, he'll be held responsible. Here too, when this person who says, this is what was in my chest, the person who threw the chest into the yam should be held responsible. Says the Gemara, Amalei, so he said, if the person who owned the chest indeed comes and says, this is the amount of money I had in the chest, hachinami, he would be believed. Hacha, but here we're speaking about the tarma ginosa. He says, the person who had the chest claims there was a diamond in the chest. Mai. Then is he believed? Because mi manatri inshi magnis bekaspa, do people normally leave diamonds in chest? And since if that's the case, the person who threw the chest into the ocean should be held responsible? Or is that not something that this person should have assumed happened? And since it's not something that I, the person who threw it in, should be held responsible, then the same thing should be here. There's a interesting discussion. Many poskim can bring up this question. There was somebody who was going for a trip. And he, before he left, he gave a key to his apartment to his neighbor, and he asked him that from time to time he should walk into his apartment to see that everything is in order. And the neighbor did his job, and he walked into the apartment, and he saw that this neighbor who had gone on the trip had left his freezer on. And in order to save his neighbor for having to pay for a freezer that was running when he wasn't there, he checked that the freezer was empty and unplugged it, that there should be no electricity charge for that freezer. The few days later, again, the neighbor who's supposed to be taking care of the apartment comes into the apartment, and he smells a terrible odor in that apartment. And what he discovers is that that freezer wasn't really entirely empty. There was one chicken in that freezer, and because he had unplugged the freezer, the chicken had become spoiled and was giving off this terrible odor. He went and threw the chicken into the garbage. When the owner of that apartment came back, he goes right away to his freezer, opens up his freezer, and he discovers that the chicken is missing. He goes running to his neighbor, what happened here? And the neighbor tells him the story. And he tells him, well, in that chicken, I had hidden diamonds. And now the question was brought to Rabbi Loizer Tzal from the Eidah Achredis, who wrote the Sefer Pesachei Choshen. What is the halacha? He says, you caused me a horrible damage, the cost of that diamond. So in our Gemara, he says, we've learned that if somebody was told to watch a coin that's gold, but he was told it's silver, so we learned that he could say, I only assumed that it was silver. Our Gemara also just discussed the case of the chest, where somebody threw out somebody's chest, and then the owner of the chest claims that he had a very expensive diamond in that chest. Says Rabbi Loi, when we look at this situation, the person took on responsibility to watch the apartment. Even though he took on the responsibility to watch the apartment, he had no knowledge and he had no reason to believe that part of the responsibility that he's taking on, that this apartment has diamonds on it. If he should have been told. On the other hand, he was a Adam Hamazik. He took the chicken that had in the diamond, that had diamonds in it, and threw it into the yam. It says, Rabbi Loizer Tzal, such an individual had no way of knowing or thinking that there are diamonds in the chicken. And he says that when the person who did it had no reason in the world to believe that this is what was happening, he will not be held responsible. Continues the Gemara, Amalei Rav Yemir or Rav Ashi, Ton Kasa de Kaspa. If somebody says there was a silver cup in the home that you burnt, in my home that you burnt, Ton Kasa de Kaspa Bira, my, Amalei, do we trust him or not? So says the Gemara, the way to make that determination is Chazina, we need to evaluate. If the person, the victim, his house was burnt, is a wealthy person, this lekasa de kaspa, that he's the type of person that we could assume has silver cups. Inami ish mehemnehu, this person is a very reliable person. The mafkde inknish gabe, people leave their expensive items with him. Sedem mishtaba v'shakel, he can make a shvua and he'll take what he says was lost by this fire. But if it's not that type of individual, Lav Kal Kmenei, he cannot be believed to just say that there was this expensive cup. The Gemara now brings, in Halacha, there's a concept of a Gazlan and a concept of a Chamson. And the Gemara now wants to know, what is the difference between a Gazlan and a Chamson? Of course, the Pnei Yeshua asked the question, why is this relevant to what we're learning? So he explains that we just finished learning that there is a concept of takonas nigzal. And perhaps the Gemara wants to know that that rule is only by a nigzal and not by a chamsin. And therefore we need to know what is a chamsin, what is a gazlan. Amalei Rav Adabrei, the Rav Avila Rav Ashi. Ma ben gazlan and chamsin? What is the difference between a gazlan and a chamsin? Amalei chamsin yov dami. A chamsin takes something, but he pays. Gazlan takes something, v'lo yov dami, doesn't pay. Amalei yov dami, if he's paying, so chamsin kurisle, why are you calling him a chamsin? I, you'll say, because he made the person sell it to him against that person's will. But ask the Gemara Rav Huna, to lovazoven, if I force somebody to sell something to me, and the transaction is done, the halacha is zvina zvina. The halacha considers it a valid transaction. So what's the problem with a chamsin? Answers the Gemara, loy kasha. Hada amar roitzani. Even though I forced you to sell something to me, but if at the end you say you're agreeable to the sale, so then the halacha is teluyah v'zoven zvina zvina. The halacha is that it's considered a valid sale. But in a case where I sold it to you and you never said roitzani, even though the seller never ultimately agreed, then the halacha is that that's considered a chamsin. There's a very interesting discussion that the Sefer Mishpatei Torah discusses. He discusses a situation that there are certain supermarkets or different clubs that sell different merchandise, and they sell the merchandise at a cheaper price if you're a club member. You become a member of that store, you become a member of that club, they give you a card, a membership card, and when you come to the store, you get a discounted price on those foods, on those products. Can somebody use somebody else's club card without telling the supermarket that it's not really me, I'm using somebody else's club card? And if he did do so, would the person who used that card, that he wasn't really him, have to return the difference in price? Moreover, sometimes the store will give a gift to such an individual. Will he have to return the gift? Because it's really not, I'm not really entitled to use that card. So the Mishpatei Torah says there is no question that if under normal circumstances, the supermarket is particular, that only the true members who are holding the card should be holding the card, then the halacha is that he has to return the gift if he got a gift under false pretenses, and he has to pay the full price if he got the discount under full pretenses. But then he adds another fact to take into consideration. And the other fact that he takes into consideration is that even though cards are given to the card members, many times what happens is the stores aren't really particular that only card members should use the card. The reason they're doing this is as a way to entice people to come into the store. And if that is what they're trying to do, just to try to get people to come into the store, then the halacha would be very, very different, he says, and then you would not have to return the difference, or would not have to return the gift. Says the Mishnah, Netz Sheyotz Metach Sapatish. The blacksmith was banging with his hammer, and a spark flew out for Hizik, and the people got, different things got damaged. Then the person who was banging with this will be chayiv, because, explained the Rishonim, as we often discuss in our shiurim, there are two ways of understanding the mazik of Eish. One way of understanding is Eish Mishem Chitzov. It's considered that I'm an Odom HaMazik. And sometimes we explain it, the Reish Lakish explains it, that's the opinion of Yochanan, and Reish Lakish explains Eish Mishem Amoinai. So say the Rishonim, whatever explanation will follow when we speak about the mazik of Eish, in this case, even though I don't really own this fire, I'm not interested, it's still considered that I'm chayiv. Gomel shayotam pishtin. So it says the Mishnah, there was a camel carrying linen. Vavar b'shus rabim, and it's walking into shus rabim. V'nichnas pishtan al teich chanus, and his linen went into somebody else's store. V'dolke b'neir shel chaveni, and the linen got on fire from the candle that's in the store. V'dolke sabira, and that caused that the entire house, the entire building where the store was, should be put on fire. Balgal Mulchayev, the owner of the camel be chayev, because he wasn't careful in the way his animal walked. However, if he put his candle outdoors, then chavani chayev, the person who owns the store will be chayev. Rabbi Yehuda says, b'ner Chanukah, however, if it was ner Chanukah, since the halacha is that a ner Chanukah may be left outdoors, then the halacha is that he'll be potter. The person who left the candle outside will be potter. He had every right to leave the candle outdoor. But the Rishonim point out that this is only by ner Chanukah, which is a special halacha, that ner Chanukah should be left outdoors. It's not by any other situation. So the Mefarshim make a very interesting point. They say, of course, Chanukah is an important yontif in our calendar, an important mitzvah in our observation, in our observance of the mitzvahs, but the only Mishnah in Shas that mentions Chanukah is this Mishnah. And many Mefarshim try to understand why there is no other Mishnah that mentions Chanukah. So the Chasam Sofer wants to say an interesting pshat. He says that the author of Mishnayos, we know, was Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was from the family of Shevet Yehuda. And the family of Shevet Yehuda, La Yosef Shevet Yehuda, the Torah says, that Yaakov Avinu had this designated that the Melucha, the monarchy in Klal Yisrael, belongs to Shevet Yehuda. But we know by the Nes of Chanukah, the Chashmonaim took the Melucha, and therefore Rabbeinu HaKadosh was sort of upset with the Chashmonaim and Chanukah, and that's why he didn't mention it in the Mishnayos. Many, many people, this is a vart they say in the name of Chasam Sofer, and he says that, and Chasam Sofer himself says, this pshat can't be right. To attribute to Rabbeinu HaKadosh such feelings towards the Chashmonaim is something that we can't accept. The Chasam Sofer, therefore, attempts to say a different pshat. The Chasam Sofer says that there are certain mitzvahs that are never mentioned in the Mishnayos either. And the reason those mitzvahs are not mentioned in the Mishnayos, because they're mitzvahs that everybody knows we have to fulfill. We don't mention, there's no Mishnah that says you have to put on tefillin. There's no mitzvah that says you have to put Mishnah that says you put on tzitzis, because these are halachas that are obvious. Says the Chasam Sofer, the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles on Chanukah is such a basic obligation, it wasn't necessary to be said. Others claim that we know, I heard this word from Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that there's a Masechta Mezuzah and there's a Masechta Tefillin, which are small Masechtas, which are a compendium of halachas, and they claim that there was a Masechta, and he says there was a Masechta Chanukah, and because there was a Masechta Chanukah, that's what Rebbe relied on where you would learn the halachas of Chanukah. Another pshat is that the reason Rabbeinu Yehuda, the Egli Tal, explains this pshat, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, as we just learned, indeed, was from the family of Yehuda, the family of the monarchy by Klal Yisrael. And the Akum were particularly concerned about the Yontav of Chanukah. The reason they were so particularly concerned about the Yontav of Chanukah, because the Yontav of Chanukah to them represented as if the Jews wanted to reestablish the monarchy and rebel against them. and particularly if Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who was a descendant of the family of the king, they were particularly watching him that he may have that type of a plan, in order that they should not, chas v'shalom, accuse Rebbe of that being his intention. Rebbe deliberately left Chanukah out of the Mishnayos, that nobody should claim that that was what he was trying to accomplish. It says the Gemara, Amar Ravina Mishmei D'Rava, Shema Minam Rabbi Yehuda, Ner Chanukah. From here we learn that not only, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, that the Ner Chanukah should be left outdoors, Ner Chanukah Mitzvah L'Anich B'Teich HaSorah, it should be left within the 10 Tfachim of the ground. This akadata, because if we're going to say that the Ner Chanukah is Lamala Masara, Amai Amar Rabbi Yehuda, what did Rabbi Yehuda say? The Ner Chanukah Potter, that the person who put his Chanukah menorah outdoors is Potter Lemele, why can't the person say to him, Havle Lanucha, you should have left the candle Lamala Migam of Rachvay in a higher spot, and therefore if people are walking through the street, they won't encounter the calendar. Elav shmamina. It must be from here we see. The mitzvah l'anich b'teich asara. The halacha should be that the Chanukah candle should be left within 10 tefachim of the ground. And therefore, even though the camel rider gets in touch with it, they'd be potter because he had a right to put it there. And not only did he have a right to put it there, that's where it's supposed to be put. Amri loy. Loylam emelach afilam alam asara. The Chanukah candle could be put above 10 tefachim. My Amrit, but what are you saying? You should have put it higher, says the Gemara. The reason that that isn't a fair claim, because kiven the mitzvah kosik, the person is lighting Chanukah candles, so kula hayla tchur rabbonin. Chazal did not want to make him light it in a specific place. And therefore, wherever you light it will be fine, as long as you do the mitzvah. If the Ner Chanukah was put higher than 20 amma, psula, it's possible kesukkah. Just like the halacha is that a sukkah should not be higher than 20 amma, because it's lo shalta be'ena, you won't see the schach when it's so high up. And the mavui, that in order to be able to carry in an alleyway, we make a kaira, lechi kaira, we have a beam going across, that the halacha is that it should be also lower than 20 amma, that people should be able to see the kaira. Tysus asks that the Gemara in the beginning of Masech, the sukkah, says that a sukkah that is higher than 20 amma is possible. And by a mavui, the Mishnah says, yamat, it should be made lower. And the Gemara asks, why is there an inconsistency in the wording? And the Gemara says that sukkah, which is a mitzvah deraisa, so the Mishnah uses a very sharp word, psula. A mavi, which is the rabbanan, it says yamat. So the question is, here we're talking about Ner Chanukah, and Ner Chanukah is also the rabbanan. So why do we use this sharper word? That, why don't we say the same type of wording that we had that we have by a mavui, not the wording that we have by a sukkah? So Tosfos answers that indeed that isn't what should have been said, but it would require a much longer statement. It would say ve'im heniach ner Chanukah lamala me'esrim amma. You have to take down the menorah and relight it, because hadlaka is a mitzvah. The halacha is that when you light the menorah, you have to light it in the place where it's supposed to be. And that would involve a much longer phrase. And because Chazal always followed the rule of L'olam Yishana Adam L'Talmida B'Derek Tzara, the Chazal were as precise and as limiting in the words that they used as possible. That's why it was much easier just to use the word psula, even though we're dealing here only with a din, the rabban. The Klaus Megarabba asks that since the halacha is that Ner Chanukah is also l'shtamish l'oira, you're not allowed to have hanah from the Ner Chanukah, so why is it considered my fire? We're having here a discussion if you put your Chanukah candles out or you're not chayv when you put your Hanukkah candles out. He asks, of course you should be chayv for putting your candles out, because the candles are osbanah. Ain't lanu rishus l'shtamish b'hem. So the Kozmag Rebbe repeats a concept that we've said in our shiurim. He says, the halacha of Isser Hanor does not say that something that's osbanah does not belong to me. He says, a person owns something which is also b'hanor. There's a new din, there's not a lot of hanor from it. That doesn't mean that's not considered mine. The Imri Emes says that the Gemara says, we're going to have it on that, the Gemara says, that ma'olam lo yodah shechina l'mata masara, that the shechina doesn't go below 10 tefachim. But in Mitzvah Shem, when Mashiach comes, when the Pasuk says, Kimala Oretz, Deis Hashem, we're going to live in a world that's full of Kedusha, V'tahara, we're going to live in a world that is a world of Ruchnius, then the Shechina will permeate every place in the world. So says the Imri Emes, the Ner Chanukah represents such a world. The Ner Chanukah represents a better world, a world of Shechina. And therefore, the Ner Chanukah may be put L'mata Miyut Tfachim. Perek Hagatayim L'chakoynis, Hanu L'chakoynis, Hanu L'chakoynis. Says the Mishnah, Meruba Merubas Tashlume Kefil. If somebody steals something, the Torah says that you have to pay Kefil. And the Torah also speaks about Tashlume Abov Chamisha. The Halach of Abov Chamisha teaches us that if somebody stole a sheep or somebody stole a sheep or animal, and the tafchay or machray, he sold it or slaughtered it, he has to pay Abba v'chamisha. So says the Mishnah, Meruba, Tashlume Kefil, and Midas Tashlume Abba v'chamisha. In a way, Kefil is more comprehensive than Tashlume Abba v'chamisha. Midas Tashlume Kefil Nagas, Bein Medav Shesh Beruchayim, Bein Medav Shem Beruchayim. The halacha of Kefil applies by any object that was stolen. However, midas tashlum above a chamisha and in the egus el b'shabes sebelvat only applies by an axe or a sheep. Shenemar, because when the Torah speaks about the din of above a chamisha, the Torah says ki yignav ishar oiseh utvachoy mechari. Says the Mishnah further, ein agoyunav ach aganav mishlam tashlumei kefil. If somebody stole something from somebody else who had stolen it, he won't have to pay kefil. And furthermore, says the Mishnah, if somebody took something from a ganef and was the one that slaughtered it or sold it, he will not have the obligation of paying teshlume above a chamisha. And the reason is because the first ganef has certainly some level of responsibility, since the first person has some level of responsibility. So now the second person, what he's going to be paying, he's not going to be paying the full kefil, the full abav chamisha. There is a machloikis achroinim, by goinif menaganif, will he be entirely exempt? Or that's the opinion of the tzois and the nesivis versus the opinion of the tumim, that he will be chayiv, he just doesn't pay kefil dal v'chei. Midas tashlume, says the Gemara, ilu midas tashlume ab kefil, nahegis bein beganif, bein betoyin tanis ganif. There's a concept of a shomer could say that what I had was stolen from me. Shomer chinam, we know is not chayiv for geneva v'aveda. So if a shomer chinam was watching somebody's object, and then the person says, well, give me back my object. And he says it was stolen, and he swears that it was stolen. And then he has to pay, and then it turns out that he was the one that actually stole it. That the halach is he has to pay kefil. So the halach is, teshlume kefil, noheges bein beganef, bein betoyin tanis ganef, umidas teshlume abav chamisha, en noheges el beganef bulvad, like Tani, was not mentioned in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Mesaile Rav Chi Bar Abba, our Mishnah seems to be supporting what Rav Chi Bar Abba taught us. Don Rav Chi Bar Abba, Om Rav Yochanan, Hatoin Tanis Ganabi Bikodin, Mishalim Tashlumei Kefo, and if he claimed, and if he ended up being the one that had Tavach Umacher, sold it or slaughtered it, actually the Halacha will be Mishalim Tashlumei Barav Chamisha. So if that's the case, this is not going to be an example of a difference between Kefil and Arbaa v'Chamisha. Ikadamra, Lema Masailei, but there's a different version. Lema Masailei Rav Chiya Bar Abba, is our Mishnah a raya to Rav Chiya Bar Abba, to what Rav Chiya Bar Abba just taught us? Dam Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Om Rav Yochanan, Atoyim Tanis, Ganab B'Kodim, Mishalem Tashlumei Kefil, Tavach Umachat, Mishalem Tashlumei Arbaa v'Chamisha. So the fact that our Mishnah didn't mention this as a difference, isn't that a raya that Rav Chiya Bar Abba is correct? Says the Gemara, if the Mishnah would have used the words ein bein, so then it would be a raya. Because the Mishnah is indicating all of the differences. Our Mishnah doesn't use that wording. Our Mishnah uses the word meruba, that there are more situations of kefil than there are of dal v'hei. And therefore we could say ton of ishaya. It didn't mention all of the differences. So how will the first version hold? So the first version says Tosfos holds that it doesn't make a difference if the Mishnah uses the word ein bein or the Mishnah uses the word merubah. It seems to indicate all of the differences. And the fact that this difference wasn't mentioned is a proof that this isn't a difference. But then they say Tarav Ashayir. So the Gemara said they were left out. So Tosfos asks, whenever the Gemara says Tan of Ashayir, and the Gemara means that not all of the differences were mentioned, the Gemara asks, my Shire, the high Shire, what other differences? Because there's usually not only one difference that's left out. So he says, one would be Toyin Tainas Ganef by something that he was watching that he had found that was lost. That then there is a chiv of kefil, but there is no chiv of arba v'chamisha. Another difference, he says, is that if two people stole an object together, there's a din of kefil for shutvim, but there is no din of dal v'chamisha by shutvim.